Georgia with Marcus Reed. This is KillPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the main branch of San Francisco's public library. Today is Thursday, the 25th of September. On this date, in 1237, England and Scotland signed the Treaty of York, establishing the border, or administrative boundary, as they say, between the two entities that are currently still part of one country. 1789, the Bill of Rights passes the U.S. Congress. 1890, the U.S. Congress establishes Sequoia National Park. 1912, Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism is founded. 1942, Swiss police give instructions to deny entry to Jewish refugees into Switzerland. 1957, Central High School integrated in Little Rock, Arkansas. 1962, the People's Democratic Republic of Algeria is formally proclaimed. 1972, in a referendum, the people of Norway reject membership in the European Community. And they'll stay that way until the gas and oil runs out. 1981, the first female U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor takes her seat. 1983, 38 IRA prisoners smash their way out of Long Kesh, or Mays Prison, the largest prison escape since World War II and ever in British history. 2005, IRA officially disarms. Birthdays are William Faulkner, Mark Rothko, Juliette Prowse, Pedro Almodovar, Christopher Reeve, and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Today, it's just me, Mark Mullen. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is about Georgian passports and how the president has to sign off on dual citizenship, which is a stupid setup. That people should have citizenship via law and not at the discretion of an individual. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. Dustin wants the Misha in Brooklyn New York Times style section article nominated to be the TpielPod article of the year. Anybody has any other nominations, then let us know. Otherwise, I think it'll carry the day. It is truly brilliant. If anybody's got anything to comment on it, let us know. Go to TpielPod.com or send us an email at TpielPod@gmail.com. Following up on last week's story, the conflict between President Georgi Margvelashvili and Prime Minister Irakli Kharivashvili, as we heard, President Margvelashvili said that he will not attend the UN climate summit in New York because his plans were thwarted by the government. On the 19th of September, Georgian journalist Inga Grigolia hosted Margvelashvili on her show. He said that he may dissolve parliament or step down if there is a political crisis. He also said that if the president resigns because of confrontations or tensions, it must be for the benefit of the country. If he feels that he is preventing the country from moving forward, then he will resign. A collection of NGOs, including TI Georgia, GILA, CEDA, ISFED, and OSGF, commented on the political rift, saying the public has recently been witness to conflict between two branches of the government. This conflict is undermining the Constitution and preventing the president from fulfilling his role as it is defined herein. Moreover, it illustrates the emergence of informal governance whereby a private citizen is able to exert undue influence on the government. It should be noted that this conflict did not emerge as a result of differing opinions on an issue of strategic importance. Neither has a specific reform or initiative provoked the fallout. The government cabinet representatives appear to have been guided by personal opinion of former Prime Minister Ivanishvili, who was disappointed by the president and his decision to move into the presidential palace, end quote. See the whole statement and things to read. My former colleague at NDI, Lincoln Mitchell, weighs in on the conflict, arguing that, quote, while the complex relationship between the president and prime minister cannot be ignored, it is also easy to overstate the importance of this conflict. Although it is clear that the president has not been able to carve out a role for himself, the overall impact on the Georgian government is not dramatic. It is clear to citizens and policymakers in Georgia, as well as to diplomats and other foreigners, that Prime Minister Kharivashvili is by far the more powerful with regards to both formal and informal power of the two. Attributing other problems of governance to competition between president and prime minister is inaccurate and draws needed attention away from other issues, end quote. By saying it draws attention away from other issues, it's sort of like as if this is sort of some smokescreen and we ought to be paying attention to other highly important things. I think it's just the opposite, that this he's right. I mean, this is not such a huge deal, and it's just a petty squabble, and it's the fact that the authorities, and he's also right that the authorities are really the prime minister and BI himself, that they're spending so much time on this issue rather than figuring out a way to solve it amicably. It really is taking away from other issues, and that's exactly the problem. So anyway, it explains a lot about how the government worked. It bums everybody out. I mean, imagine if there's this public dispute, what they're like in private. Anyway, following up on the story of criminal charges against Misha, his pretrial detention in absentia and threatening to put him on the Interpol list. On the 19th of September, the appeals court upheld a decision to seize Misha's personal property in Georgia, along with the property of his wife Sandra, their sons, his parents, and his grandmother. Although Tbilisi City Court decided this in late August, the decision wasn't reported to the media until now, along with the appeals court's ruling. Misha is charged with embezzling up to 9 million lari of public funds, explaining the seizure. The prosecutor's office wrote in a statement that since Misha is reluctant to cooperate with investigations, there was a well-founded reason to believe that he might avoid financial responsibility by selling or hiding his assets. According to Misha's lawyer, Otto Kachidze, the court ordered to seize Misha's property in Kvarelia 2 hectare estate and a 75 square meter house, 500 square meters of land in Ozurgeti belonging to his grandmother, Mzia Tzereteli, and her 10-year-old Toyota RAV4, a 0.2 hectare land plot also in Kvareli belonging to his mother, Giulia Lasania, a flat in Vake which belongs to his wife, Sandra Rolofs, and a flat in Tbilisi that belongs to his grandmother. Kachidze said that the only appeal opinion left in domestic courts is with the Constitutional Court and that his team is weighing the possibility of appealing to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. Later, Kachidze wrote on his Facebook page that the court also seized Misha's bank accounts. The prosecutor's office declined to comment. According to information from TI Georgia regarding the legal grounds for this, if Misha is accused of stealing state property and corruption, they could impound all of his and Sandra's property, as well as the property of people indirectly related to him. But as the government accused him only of unjustified or wasteful spending, the proportionate measure would be to freeze only his and Sandra's assets. So, it's illegal. On the 23rd of September, the prosecutor's office got court approval to seize the property of Misha's head of security, Temo Janashia. Janashia objected, saying his property includes a bank account with his pension, his sole source of income. Later, the prosecutor's office issued a statement that it froze several of his accounts and not the Liberty Bank account where Janashia gets his pension. The frozen accounts contained a total of $270,000, which prosecutors claim Janashia did not include in his property declaration for public servants. As a reminder, Janashia was charged along with Misha for embezzlement of 8.3 million lari of public money for unnecessary expenses. The seizures of Misha's relative's property is still petty and completely illegal. New York Times published a profile interview with Misha on the 19th of September. He now calls the Brooklyn neighborhood of Williamsburg his home in a self-imposed exile. It says he spends his time writing a memoir, delivering very well-paid speeches and helping start up a Washington-based think tank, visiting old boosters like Senator John McCain and Victoria Nuland, the Assistant Secretary of State. His position as senior statesman at Tufts University ended in May and was not renewed. He thinks growing anti-Putin sentiment will mean he will one day be able to return to Georgian political life. He sees the revitalization of Williamsburg as part of a democratic transformation where capitalism reigns. People on social media focus on the pictures of Misha drinking from a coconut and walking the streets with his bike and neon green shoes, saying he's gone from president to Williamsburg hipster. It's in our things to read, very much discussed on Facebook. Was it unfair, mean-spirited, accurate? I don't know, but seems to me a pretty accurate portrayal of what it's like hanging out with Misha. Following up on last week's story about Otsneva infighting in Ajada, on the 18th of September, Madea Vasadze, a member of the Ajada Sakrabulo from the Georgian Dream, accused the finance and economy minister of Ajada, Dato Baladze, of corruption and not presenting the real budget expenditures of the government of Ajada. Vasadze claimed the authorities were already investigating alleged corruption by the current Ajada government. Baladze denied the accusation, saying they emerged after a number of people were fired in August by the Ajaran government head. Vasadze belongs to a part of the Georgian Dream coalition that supported the Vice Speaker of Parliament, Mormon Dumbadze, who was expelled from the Georgian Dream last week by Kharibashvili. And good riddance, in my view. According to the reporting from Foreign Policy magazines, the cable Georgia offered to host a training facility for Syrian rebels as part of the U.S.-led war against the Islamic State militants, citing an unnamed U.S. administration official. The offer was made during closed-door meetings with Secretary of State Chuck Hagel when he visited Tbilisi earlier in September. The proposal is still only under consideration, according to the Georgian ambassador to the U.S., Archil Gegeshidze. After it was reported on the 23rd of September, the Georgian Ministry of Defense released a statement saying that Tbilisi is considering various options of how to contribute to the U.S.-led anti-Islamic State coalition, but did not deny the report. Afterwards, Georgian State Security and Crisis Management Council, chaired by Prime Minister Kharibashvili and set up in opposition to Margvelashvili's National Security Council, strongly denied the report that Georgia will host trainings for Syrian rebels. Ambassador Gegeshidze told Georgian journalists in New York that there was inaccuracy in his quote and suggested that he was misinterpreted in the foreign policy report. Panjakidze also denied the report and told Georgian journalists in New York that Georgia's participation in anti-IS coalition will, quote, only be of humanitarian nature, end quote. As a note, Reuters also published an article on the 24th of September saying that Georgia offered the U.S. to train Georgian rebels in to train Syrian rebels in Georgia, sourcing U.S. officials, but that it was unclear whether Washington would take Tbilisi up on the offer. Also, the editorial board of Foreign Policy maintained that they support the reporting accuracy of the story and will not issue a correction. Swedish newspaper Aftonbladet reported a story quoting a former Georgian official from Misha's government, Goga Heindrava, who accused Swedish Foreign Minister Carl Bildt of corruption. According to the article, Swedish PR company Kreabd signed an agreement with the Misha government of 2006. Bildt was the company's president at the time. The newspaper exposes secret documents showing that in only 1 year, Kreabd received about 20 million Swedish kroner transferred from Misha's government. According to the Swedish professor writing on his blog, Kreab is a company significantly composed of and strongly associated with the Georgian main governing party, the Moderates, which just lost the election, which is Bildt's party. Bildt responded that the accusations are raving wrong and that he requests an explanation from the Georgian government official involved. As a reminder, Bildt is one of the architects of the EU Eastern Partnership program designed to bring former Soviet states closer to Europe. Goga Heindrava is not a particularly reliable guy, so I don't know how important this is, although it's an interesting story. I always personally liked Carl Bildt. He certainly cares a lot about Georgia. On the 22nd of September in Tbilisi, there was a trial about the circumstances of Prime Minister Zuta Bjelašević's death in 2005. The court discussed the autopsy. The forensic expert who performed the autopsy, Levan Čaču, is charged with negligence on his job, although I always thought that the guy who did the autopsy was killed shortly thereafter, but I'm not sure. In March of this year, a video was published on social media showing the bodies of Živanja and Rasul Usupov, who was found dead in the apartment of Živanja with injuries on their bodies at the time of death. The prosecutor's office earlier said that it did not rule out the need for a new autopsy on Živanja. Čaču's lawyer said that at the hearing that the injuries shown in the video are the result of Photoshop and that Živanja and Usupov did not have injuries when they died, allegedly of carbon monoxide poisoning. On the 18th of September, the foreign minister of Abkhazia, Vyacheslav Chirkba, said that while Suchumi supports the Geneva talks, its format and agenda should be changed. As a reminder, the recent round of Geneva talks in June was disrupted after participants from Abkhazia and South Ossetia walked out from one of the two working groups and demanded to remove the issue of displaced persons and refugees from the agenda. Chirkba met with co-chairs of the Geneva talks from the EU, UN, and OSCE, who are preparing the next round of negotiations scheduled for the 7th and 8th of October. After days of heavy rain in Ajada earlier this week, about 7,000 households were without electricity in Batumi. The first floors of houses were flooded in parts of Batumi, and Helvac Ouri had no running water. There were landslides in several places, and bridges in Chaisubani were damaged. On the 25th of September, a five-level storm hit western Georgia early in the morning, causing more floods, landslides, and damage to infrastructure in the Ajada and Goodyear regions. More than 4,000 households in Ajada and about 1,200 households in Goodyear were left without electricity. 12 families were evacuated from Simonetti Village in Ajada. Roads were blocked. Classes were suspended in the village and in Goodyear because of flooding in the schools. On the 24th of September, the Interior Ministry announced that eight referees from the Georgian Football League had been arrested in conjunction with alleged match-fixing scheme in Georgia. Seven of the arrested men were national referees, while one was a FIFA arbiter. The referees allegedly made agreements with fans regarding the number of red and yellow cards to show during matches. Fans would be able to knowingly bet on how many cards would be issued in the game. In return, the referees would receive up to $5,000 cash for each game. The Georgian Football Federation said in a statement that the investigation was launched after it was requested a number of times for law enforcement agencies to probe into suspicious matches. Well-known, and I say this with air quotes, journalist Nadia Mikiashvili, who hosts a TV show called Anatomia, accused the relative of Prime Minister of using intimidation against her. Mikiashvili said she's working on a new program about how people in Georgia take over other people's businesses by forcing them to transfer their shares. And certainly happened under Misha and is supposedly happening now. And it is investigating Zvier Jankarashvili. According to Mikiashvili, Jankarashvili urged her to cancel the filming of the program and threatened to take adequate measures after she refused. The journalist called on the government and NGOs to act. Jankarashvili is a former head of the Interior Ministry's General Inspection, and he is Prime Minister Garibashvili's wife's cousin. For those of you who don't know, she did a stupid TV show on me saying how corrupt and horrible I am. Opponents to the Khudoni hydropower project protested in Mesti on the 18th of September before a massive dam will flood parts of Svaneti. If realized, thousands of people will be forced from their homes. In the village of Khaishi, where the church will be flooded, locals have sworn they will not abandon the graves of their forefathers. The technical advisor for the Khudoni project argues that the project should go ahead because it will bring energy independence. Thus far in 2014, 75% of Georgia's energy was imported. According to critics of the plan, the company building the hydropower plant, TransElectrica Georgia, received over 100 critical remarks from the Environment Ministry and the Natural Resources Protection Ministry, but has yet to produce a revised environmental impact assessment. The company also does not have the necessary permits to start the project. On the 23rd of September, Prime Minister Garibashvili addressed the UN summit in New York. He said that Georgia, which aims to be a hydropower giant, will strive to become carbon neutral by 2050. He said that Georgia is already using renewable energy for 80% of its electricity. According to the Global Carbon Project, Georgia's emission of carbon dioxide and primary greenhouse gases accounted for 0.016% of total global emissions out of 36.1 billion tons in 2013. Not sure about that 80% figure. Has factcheck.ge looked at that? If anybody knows, let us know, because it seems kind of high to me. Following up on previous week's stories about foreigners owning land, the Ministry of Justice prepared a draft law on agricultural land ownership outlining new land registration rules for foreigners. It proposes a foreign company and private foreign person will not be able to purchase agricultural land across 5 kilometers of the country's official border and at border zones defined by the government, even if it was registered or established in Georgia. A private foreign person and foreign company established in Georgia will be able to purchase agricultural land, but there will be some restrictions making it so nobody ever will or can. In particular, both the private foreign person and foreign company must have 5 years' work experience in the agricultural sector on Georgian territory, or in the case of a private foreign person, he or she must have permanent residence permission or investment permission. The private foreign person and foreign company established in Georgia will be able to purchase agricultural land with a minimum of 5 hectares and maximum of 100 hectares. In the case of serious investment proposals from private foreign persons or foreign companies, the Georgian government will have the right to support them and allow them to purchase the agricultural land. A private foreign person who has previously a Georgian who was previously a Georgian citizen and had agricultural land passed down to him or her from their family will be able to own the land. In case of marriages where one of the spouses is a foreigner, they will have the right to land ownership. In the case of divorce, the foreign citizen will be obligated to sell the co-owned land, and the Georgian spouse will have right of first refusal to purchase the land. As a reminder, in June 2013, Parliament passed a temporary moratorium on non-Georgian citizens from purchasing or inheriting agricultural land until December 2014. The moratorium was lifted in June 2013 following a verdict of the Constitutional Court that it was unconstitutional in a case brought by Matthias Hooter, formerly of the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, and formerly of Tbilpod.com. Check out the Facebook page Ghorebi Pigs. They post pictures of people who throw garbage in the streets from their cars and so on. For one example of a garbage bin in the space for handicapped parking, the creators say these people behave like pigs and encourage everyone to take pictures when they see this stuff and just post it. It's Facebook.com Ghorosapien. That's Ghoro, G-H-O-R-O, Sapien, S-A-P-I-E-N-S, written together. Tbilisi-based Lithuanian journalist Inga Popovitie wrote an article for Democracy and Freedom Watch about being a foreign go-go or girl in Georgia. She says that she and many foreign women living in Georgia experience sexual harassments on the streets because Georgian men believe that foreign women, since they have sex before marriage, unlike every single Georgian woman, have sex indiscriminately. Unlike good Georgian girls, she also believes it's because foreign women usually don't have male Georgian male protectors unless they are married to a Georgian man. This article has caused a lot of discussion on, and debate on Facebook. Many foreign women and plenty of foreign men and Georgian women support Popovitie's view and are coming out about sexual harassment they get from taxi drivers or even for smiling. Other people, some others, say the article is racist, exaggerated, overdramatic, essentially saying, you know, foreigners are not really, shouldn't really criticize Georgia because it ticks people off. Not many people have said that, but some. It's in our things to read. Zura Japaridze was elected as the executive secretary of UNM, replacing Misha Machavadiani. For those who don't know, Misha Machavadiani, who is one of the very few to have been a minister under Shevardnadze, to have a position in Misha's government, but not in the top leadership group, really. He was revenue minister under Shevardnadze and then became deputy speaker under Misha. He's also the brother of Vano Machavadiani, who was ambassador to Japan under Misha for a while, and is a very old close friend of Mark Vilashvili. Mark Vilashvili appointed him as his foreign policy advisor, which annoyed BI for some reason, and was the start of a lot of the arguments. Also, Misha Machavadiani, I don't know whether he still does, but he used to live on Rustaveli and was one of the few senior government officials that I would ever see walking along Rustaveli, which I always liked. On the 24th of August, members of Free Movement burst into the courtroom trial of Bachua Khalaya and co-defendants screaming, "Murderer!" The judge fined one of them 300 lari for intruding into the courtroom twice. China Southern Airlines will launch a round-trip Lanzhou-Urumqi-Tbilisi service on the 30th of September. The flight will run three times a week on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays. Etihad Airways, a national airline of the United Arab Emirates, is launching a new regular flight service from Abu Dhabi to Tbilisi in October. It'll fly three times a week. We'll fly direct to Baku as well. Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania announced the contract signed between City Park and the Tbilisi government in 2006 will be examined by an international audit company. He said the legal and financial analysis will strengthen his argument that the terms of the contract must be amended in order to provide better and more comfortable parking spaces in Tbilisi. In my view, CT Park is horrible in all possible regards. It was a stupid contract. It was done ages ago, I think by Chivadashvili when he was mayor, because they said we need to privatize everything. Didn't really do anything for a long time. They don't do what they should do, which is protect people from parking in front of pedestrians. They coordinate very badly, both with the public and the mayor's office, and they're a mess. I wish they could be kicked out. Georgia will join the Arms Trade Treaty on the 26th of September, which restricts international trade in small arms across borders. The ATT was adopted by the UN General Assembly April 2013. So far, 119 countries have signed the treaty. 45 have ratified it. In order for the treaty to come into force, more than 50 countries must ratify it. On the 22nd of September, Georgian wrestlers rallied outside the Minister of Sports, where there was a meeting to decide whether the president of the Wrestling Federation, Luka Kurtanidze, would keep his office. The athletes threw eggs at Kurtanidze, who had to enter the ministry building with the help of police. The wrestlers were against Kurtanidze's dismissing the judo, Greco-Roman, and freestyle coaches, and also complaining that his work halts the development of wrestling in Georgia. Later, the honorary president of the Wrestling Federation said that the issue of Kurtanidze's dismissal would be removed from the agenda. On the 20th of September, Secretary of the U.S. Army John McHugh arrived in Tbilisi 2 weeks after U.S. Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel visited Georgia. He met Defense Minister Irakli Alasania and discussed the threat posed by the Islamic State, as well as U.S. support to Georgia's NATO integration. On the 20th of September, officials gathered at the Sangachal Terminal on the Caspian Sea in Azerbaijan to launch the Southern Gas Corridor. The terminal, which has a natural gas processing plant and an oil production plant, is part of the Shah Deniz Phase 2, which will expand the South Caucasus pipeline. In addition, 16 billion cubic meters of gas per year will be delivered in the direction of Turkey through Georgia. Georgian Defense Minister Alasania paid a one-day visit to Yerevan to visit his Armenian counterparts on the 24th of September. The U.S. placed Tarkan Batirashvili on the list of 21 specially designated global terrorists, freezing their assets and prohibiting Americans from having any commercial transactions with them. 28-year-old Batirashvili, a.k.a. Omar al-Shishani, comes from Georgia's Pankizi Gorge and is one of the senior Islamic military commanders operating in Syria, as reported long ago on Tevilpod.com. Georgian judo team won the Junior European Team Championship for the second time in a row in the host city of Bucharest. The tournament hosted under 21 teams from 13 countries. Beka Gviniashvili also won the individual European Championship for the second time in a row. Georgia is preparing to take part in the Judo Junior World Championships in Miami from the 22nd to the 26th of October. On the 24th of September, Slovakia ratified the UN Association Agreement with Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine. It was adopted by the Slovakian Parliament unanimously with 117 votes. Slovakia is the fifth EU country to ratify the agreement. Georgian-Estonian film Tangerines was named the best film in the Taste of Europe section at the Ostend Films Festival in Belgium. Four of the Tangerine actors received Best Actor awards at the Eurasia Festival in Kazakhstan. Wow. Gotta see that. On the 24th of September, Tbilisi unveiled a memorial to the late Czech playwright, dissident, and president Václav Havel in Vake. The authorities will soon announce a tender to select an artist to create a bust of Havel. Tbilisi Mayor David Narmania met with the mayor of Prague 6 and discussed making Tbilisi's Vake and Prague 6th district twin districts. In parliamentary news, the head of the healthcare committee, Georgian Dream, member of parliament Dima Khundadze, along with Prime Minister Miran Tsiklauri, member of parliament Miran Tsiklauri, proposed tougher punishment for illegal abortions. Khundadze says 100 to 150 abortions are performed every day across the country. According to their proposed bill, performing an illegal abortion will result in 120 to 300 hours of community service or 1 to 2 years in prison. Repeated violations result in 2 to 4 years in prison with a suspended work license for 3 years. If an illegal abortion leads to death of a patient, the member of parliament suggests a 4 to 6 year imprisonment and suspended work license for 3 years. Currently, a person who performs an illegal abortion can be given a fine, 100 to 240 hours of community service, or be sentenced to correctional labor for 1 to 2 years. If an illegal abortion causes serious medical conditions, the complications, the person who performed it can have their freedom restricted for up to 3 years, be sent to prison for 1 to 3 years, and have their work license suspended for 3 years. Parliament approved the draft amendments prepared by the Ministry of Interior and Justice regarding gun laws. According to the document, a person who seeks to get a license for purchase, keeping, or carrying a firearm will have to pass special tests, including a psychological test. Heavier penalties will also be enforced for people caught illegally carrying a gun. They can be given 4 years in prison instead of a fine. People who have committed any type of crime, people who have committed an administrative offense, including hooliganism, drunken driving, resisting police, will not be allowed to own a gun. The meme this week is a photo on the official Facebook page of Prime Minister Khadabashvili. He's in New York meeting world leaders and taking a picture with American actor Matt Damon. Because why not? The caption says, at the plenary session of President Clinton's global initiative, Garibashvili met famous actor Matt Damon, who is involved in the project. The Georgian word for plenary is misspelt. As a reminder, there was a big scandal between the president and the prime minister over who would show up at the climate summit in New York. The president decided not to go. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty journalist Robert Coulson writes about the dispute between Georgia's president and government, begging the question of who runs the country. Ultimately, what it shows is a problem of weak institutions and informal governance. The same note, a statement by Georgian NGOs, including TI Georgia and Young Lawyers, on the conflict between the president and the government. They call on the government of Georgia not to repeat the mistakes of the past when all branches of government were controlled by a few powerful individuals. They warn that Georgia will not become a fully fledged member of the Euro-Atlantic family, which is the will of the Georgian people, while informal governance is a reality and democratic institution building is undermined. An article by Pavel Strakonsky profiling female drug addicts in Georgia, he finds that it is very difficult for female drug addicts to gain additional institutional access to health services because of Georgia's male-dominated society and severe social stigma against women using drugs, or against women drug users. Many female addicts are scared to access needle exchange or other harm reduction services because they fear their families or police will find out about their addiction. Many experience violence from their own families who try to exert control over them. Registered female drug users can have their children taken away. They say police treat them as criminals. Agenda.ge looks back on the doomed flight going from Tbilisi to Suchumi, shot down on the 22nd of September 1993 at Babushehra Airport. During the Abkhaz War, 108 of the 132 people on board were killed and buried in a mass grave. Over 20 years later, DNA testing will identify the victims and allow their mourning family members to give them their own burials. Jason Horowitz interview with Misha for the New York Times style section, as mentioned above. The responses from the Misha New York Times profile, Mark Adamanis writes in Forbes that Misha doesn't know what democracy is if he thinks that Williamsburg having posh cafes is democratic. New York Magazine has a little blurb poking fun at Misha's hipster life, as does Brooklyn Magazine with a post titled, Hipster Went to War with Putin Before It Was Cool. That's the best title of all of them. Gothamist also has something about it. This is how they sum it up. His eldest son is the reigning fastest iPad typer. He is peripherally aware that Hasidic Jews wear big hats. He can speak a little Ossetian. He fits in pretty damn well in Williamsburg. Quote. And finally, one from Mick.com, that's M-I-C.com, assuring us that Misha's president to hipster tale is not the plot of a Wes Anderson movie. Will Cathcart profiles Misha's wife, former First Lady of Georgia, Sandra Roloffs, despite that Misha now lives in the U.S. And will be arrested if he enters Georgia. Sandra and their eight-year-old son remain in Tbilisi. George Lomsadze catches up with the three singing Georgian girls whose folklore selfie video went viral a couple of weeks ago. World Bank update on renovations in the remote village of Darklo in Tusheti Mountains, which they are financing. Many people know about Svaneti, but Tusheti is Georgia's hidden gem in a country of hidden gems. Adventure and travel magazine Outside has a feature on Rooms Hotel Kazbegi, described as an adventure oasis in a country better known for chaos. Can't argue with that. Likewise, blog Adventurous Travels features Batumi as a surprising subtropical, quote, mini Las Vegas of the Black Sea, end quote. And, of course, the article by Inga Popovitie about being a foreign go-go in Georgia, as discussed above, coinciding with MoMA's exhibition in Georgian film. MoMA's exhibition on Georgian film, New York Times surveys the history of Georgian cinema, calling it exotic, forbidding, as well as fiercely beautiful, gives a decent rundown of landmark Georgian films in the 20th century for anyone curious where to start watching. A film review of Nino Kurtzidze's film Don't Breathe that premieres in Toronto and the Toronto International Film Festival. A black humor, possibly documentary drama about a Tbilisi couple and medical problems. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 1, which is the increase in percentage of money transfers into Georgia for August 2014. Compared to the same period last year, according to Georgia's National Bank, the amount of money transferred from abroad in August was 225 million lari. There was a drop in the percentage of transfers from Russia and Ukraine, while there was an increase from Western countries, from Greece, Italy, and the U.S. especially. The amount of money transferred out of the country in August increased significantly by 11% to 25 million lari compared to the same period last year. From the 25th of September till the 1st of October, Amirani Cinema will be showing Lucy at 5:30 p.m. and Magic in the Moonlight at 10:30 p.m. Tbilisi photo exhibit Beyond the Frame by Ukrainian photographer Mila Chayeva, who profiled everyday life of female politicians in the South Caucasus. The exhibition will be open every day from 9:30 to 8 until the 28th of December at the National Parliamentary Library. That's only 2 days. I've heard it's good. Go take a look. University College London will be offering Georgian classes starting on the 30th of September. Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. will be intermediate classes. Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. is for complete beginners. That it's at UCL. The postcode is Whiskey Charlie 1 Echo 6 Bravo Tango. Email is GeorgianLanguageUCL@gmail.com. University of California, Berkeley, Art Museum and Pacific Film Archive will be hosting an exhibition discovering Georgia's cinema from September through April 2015 with multiple film showings every week. This is really great. If you're in the Bay Area, go check these out. It is at BAMFA, that's B-A-M-P-F-A dot berkeley.edu/film-series/Georgian. John Dunbar will be having an exhibition in London called Remember When Today Was Tomorrow. It will run from the 7th of October to the 1st of November, location England and Co., 9092 Great Portland Street, London, which is Whiskey 1 Whiskey 7 November Tango. This is the dad of TobiasPod.com's own Will Dunbar. I don't know his work or know him, but I have heard from people other than Will that he is famous and a really great artist. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is TobiasPod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.TobiasPod.com. And from 1974, we'll finish with Bachman Turner Overdrive's Taking Care of Business.